All right. Welcome to All Packed Up. I'm Hunter. That's
Haley.
And we're here with
Kristen Parma
of
Texas Wildlife Association.
Let's go. You can always look over the camera if you want. Say hey to people.
Hey, people.
Howdy, y'all. We're having Chris on the podcast. We've run into her a couple times here at Pack Mule at TWA, Texas Wildlife Association events. And I ran into you at Pure Pastures as well. Some friends of mine, Maggie and
Jeremiah. What up?
Maggie's a big one. Easy to remember.
I love Jeremiah though, man.
Oh,
I love
that man could talk about some sheep.
Yeah, he can.
Awesome regenerative farm up near Canyon Lake. Pure Pastures, incredible. Maybe we'll have them on here sometime.
You should.
We should.
And I'll come cook.
You come host.
Yes.
And you cook. Just be in the corner.
Just cooking. Just like.
Speaking of cooking, we're going to talk about a lot today, but we know that you love to cook. We know that you're really involved in Texas wildlife, but I think we'd like to start on the way, way back. You know, who are you? Are you from here? Just get us rolling.
Who is Kristen Parma? That's what you want to know.
Kristen Parma.
Okay. Well, so April 22nd. I was born into the world.
Oh, man. What a day.
What a day. It's actually Earth Day,
in case you're wondering.
Oh, my gosh.
Which was when we had the event at Pure Pastures.
That was your birthday?
That was my birthday, yeah. It was great.
And you cooked for everybody?
Well, yeah. I pretty much just planned my own birthday party.
I love that.
So, you know, I invited a bunch of strangers, and here we are friends now, so... It's great.
I love it.
It's a great way to meet new people.
I'm bummed we didn't like sing or anything.
We did. Where were you?
We did. I was drunk, probably. There was a lot of those all hands going around.
There was a lot of all hands.
Where were you born?
So I'm originally from Eugene, Oregon.
Okay. PNW?
Yeah. I grew up in the Willamette Valley, not the Willamette or the Will. I can't even pronounce
it. It's the valley where wine, where Pinot Noirs come from.
Yes. So it's Little Napa Valley is kind of what people are calling it these days. The hip, cool kids.
I love that. LNV. Little Napa Valley.
Almost had it. Almost.
Yeah. So I grew up there. It's kind of a long story. I don't know how long this podcast is. Maybe hours? Is that
3 hours,
what we allotted?
Maybe 3 1/4.
Okay, 3 1/4. Perfect. I should be able to wrap it up by then.
Yeah.
The way I got to Texas, actually, I'd been visiting Texas since I was a little bitty baby. My aunt lives in San Antonio, and she lives on 5 acres, horse ranch. And so my parents and I, you know, my family, we'd come visit every summer since I was a little baby. And then by around 6th grade, my parents just started sending me by myself to Texas every summer. So I was kind of poised to become a Texan. Later now in my adult life, I learned that they were like, she can never date a Texas man. Like, don't let her talk to any boys or anything. But I eventually did run into a Texas man in a feed store who is now my husband. So I always joke that you can get anything in a feed store in Texas.
That's so cute.
You can get some.
Was this in your marriage vows?
Yeah, it should have been.
It's like a Hallmark movie.
Yeah, it's a Miley Cyrus.
And the day I found you right next to the corn.
Pretty much. You know, like you can get some shoes, you can get some dog food, and you can get a husband.
Perfect.
So ladies, hit up those feed stores.
You listening, is there any you'd like to sponsor or call out?
Full of pep feeds. off of Rigsby. So, you know, I still joke with him that, you know, I just thought he was a cute cowboy at the time or whatever. But he was like, oh, a girl talked to me. I'm going to marry her. You know, so he followed me to Oregon a few years later.
Wow.
And I held him up there for about 8 years. And that's when I was really introduced to hunting, was through him. I had grown up just with a huge appreciation for the outdoors.
Were your parents hunters, outdoors people?
They weren't hunters, but just being in the Willamette Valley. I grew up fishing with my dad and just camping and hiking and just having a huge appreciation for nature. And my dad, who's like now my biggest fan, was like, I just didn't think you would ever be into hunting. You know, you were this animal loving wildlife girl. And he's probably right. I probably wouldn't have been into hunting as a little kid. But so I'm kind of actually grateful that I didn't find hunting until I was an adult and could have those complex conversations with myself and kind of figure my own journey through that. But, you know, I did have that background in the outdoors and also just having appreciation for food. I actually grew up a really picky eater too. So my mom is like, who are you? Like, you ate rice for a year. Like, you, that's all you ate. And now you're teaching people to eat javelina and things like that.
To put it in perspective, the first time I met Kristen was at Pure Pastures. It was a dinner that she basically curated. And I had what I thought was like beef tartare on a toast. And I was like, this is incredible. And she's like, that's axis deer. And I was like, holy moly, I like venison. You know, so
yeah,
she's a wild game master.
Well, thanks. Yeah, it is about having that first kind of good experience with wild game. And that's something I've come to really enjoy providing for people, is that first bite is really important, because so many people have a negative experience with their first bite of wild game. So to hear you say that is, that's like, that's my mission right there. Whether you ever eat it again or not.
I do have a weird, I feel like, issue with cooking for myself. I cook a lot. I love to cook steaks. I'll eat my own steaks. But when it comes to like fish or something a little bit off the map, I have an aversion to like eating it. So I love someone else to make it for me.
Everything tastes better if someone else made it for you.
Especially like
people are always like, oh, don't you want to enjoy what you slaved over? No.
Yeah.
Not at all.
I'm a little bougie. I just want someone to make it for me.
I mean, even I go through that, especially if I'm cooking for like a large amount of people. Like well, first of all, I probably tasted my way through cooking that meal for you, because that's really important to taste through when you are cooking. But also by the end of it, I'm just like, I don't want to eat that. Like,
yeah,
go give me.
You're over it.
Go give me a plate of nachos. I'm happy. But I do love cooking. I mean, I cook, you know, every day for myself and for my family. So I do enjoy really just the process of it all.
So you met a cowboy in a feed store. You took him back to Oregon.
Yeah.
What got you down to Texas and then basically into the DWA?
Yeah. So once he moved up there, I was introduced to hunting through him. And I kind of learned that my preconceived notions about hunting, he broke those. He was respectful. He, you know, wanted to eat what he harvested, all these things. So I kind of got into it, but we always wanted to have our own property, and Texas was kind of the place to do it. So in 2013, I think we purchased 15 acres outside of San Antonio. Adam's sister purchased the neighboring property, which was 15 acres. So it's collectively kind of 30 acres. And so we just, actually, I had never seen the property when we purchased it. He had come down and seen it, but I didn't see it till we actually moved there, and there was nothing on it. And also what brought all of this on was I just get these wild ideas, and I put them out into the world, and sometimes they come true, which is good and bad. But I was like, let's just get an RV and let's live in it until we you know, figure out what we're gonna do. So that's what we did. Is we bought a fifth wheel, we drove it to Texas, we parked it on the land, and we lived off the land.
Love
for
it.
Like
kids,
nope, dogs, ducks, cats.
It's a lot easier.
You know, we even in our fifth wheel, we had a rabbit and a bird.
Oh my
and
gosh,
a
I love
cat
it.
Cat and I a hate that. Dog. So, but you know, we didn't have electricity, so we went through that whole process and just started everything pretty much from the ground up. And we really learned, like, we spent a lot of time outdoors, especially in the summer, because that fifth wheel got incredibly hot. And so we just learned what we could live without, and just had a, like, the first thing we did was make a garden. And so You know, that was like our priority at the time, and things just kind of slowed down. Eventually we did build a home on this property, and, you know, are enjoying a real house and all those things. But sometimes I'm like, oh, I kind of miss the simple life of like not having all the clutter and all the things and just being outside all the time. Yeah. Definitely not this summer, though. I'm very grateful for air conditioning this summer. Sure. I always used to joke like, gosh, you Texans complain about the heat so much. Like, this is Mexico, guys. Like, you lived here. You chose to live here. But this summer, I'm in on it. I'm like, this is too hot, guys. Like,
let's go back up north for the summer.
Yeah. So I think I've gained a new Texan level.
Of complaining.
About the complaining heat. About the heat.
You are now Texan.
Welcome.
Welcome. Howdy. So how did you venture into getting involved in Texas Wildlife Association?
So when we moved here, Adam, my husband, was immediately like, I want to volunteer for TWA. He actually grew up hunting in the Texas Youth Hunting Program, which is one of our programs, a partnership with Texas Parks and Wildlife. It's the largest youth hunting program in the nation. And so he was actually on a brochure at the time, like his picture of him at 13 shooting a bow. He was on one of their trailers. So he was like, I want to volunteer and get involved. And I was like, at that time, I had hunted deer, but I had never harvested a deer yet. And I was like, I can't teach a kid how to shoot a deer. And he's like, yeah, you can just go do it. And I took it as like a learning opportunity. So I helped a lot of kids shoot their first deer before I ever shot my first deer.
Oh, wow.
Which was actually really great. I learned a lot, and it really set me up to be, I guess, the hunter I am today. Or
what was the holdup or the pause to you not hunting yourself?
So in Oregon, I started bow hunting. So I made it really hard on myself and challenging at first. And I also mostly did bird hunting. So we hunted pheasant and turkey while we were there. And I didn't really focus on the big game as much, although we did go elk hunting while I was in Oregon, and I do miss that. And so, you know, once I got to Texas, I just let it organically happen. You know, there were hogs, there were dove, and then I just wanted to learn as much as possible. And so through the Texas Youth Hunting Program, I did that. And then a position opened up, and in my interview, I took in that brochure of Adam, and I was like, I married this guy. So he always jokes like, oh, I got you the job. But, you know, I was in membership first for 7 years. And then this past year and a half, I moved over to engagement. They kind of split that job into two, and kind of saw this need to grow in engaging our members with. We do a lot of education programs and things, but we need to do more fun. I don't want to say fun things, but just give our members more opportunities to just get outdoors and network, all that networking.
Hands on.
Yeah. So like anything from happy hours to clay shoots to we did the pure pastures.
Yeah. And you had a happy hour at Pack Mule, our last office.
Yeah. Yep. So things like that to just bring people together. Is really needed. And so that's my job. They joke that I get to have all the fun. And it is a lot of fun. Been kind of all over Texas this past year, just getting to know people. And our adult Learn to Hunt program has really taken off this past year. And that's been kind of a way to get, you know, network with people and get the younger crowd involved. And just, you know, my cooking has been embraced as well. So I'm just kind of in this yes phase. Let's go. Whatever I can do to bring our members together.
Do you still do the youth hunting as well?
Yeah. So next year will be my 6th year hosting a mother-daughter javelina hunt.
Oh, wow.
It's probably the only one in existence.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
So it's all women. The only, you know, all the guides are women, the hunt master, me, the chef, the cook, the cook, me. So it's just such a great time. And that's out in Eagle Pass, on a beautiful, vast ranch, out there. And it's really just more than hunting. It's hard to explain to people, you know, what it is, but, you know, we do a lot more than just we're going out and hunting. We have other activities to get everybody outdoors. But one thing we do, which I used to like to kind of keep it a secret, but now I'm kind of putting it out there, is we paint every year. So the girls and the moms go home with this painting that is like a treasure from their time together outdoors. And then the guides who have kind of been along with me every year, we all have our paintings from every year, and every year's different. So, you know, it's just all about slowing down.
Yeah.
And especially the mother-daughter relationship and just having that time is just so important. So yeah. I'm so thankful that the ranch and the ranch manager, who is the most gentle giant of a man, he's so great. He helps us every year. Scott, shout out to Scott. I'm just so grateful for them for letting me do that every year, because I know it's really important. And the javelina actually has become kind of just this trademark animal for me that's followed me around. It was my first big game harvest actually in Texas. So even before I harvested a deer, I harvested a javelina. It is considered a big game animal here in Texas. So I kind of joke that I didn't choose the javelina chose me. But I didn't have these preconceived notions of what it was, or that it was a nuisance, mm-hmm. or that it was stinky or mm-hmm. gross or inedible, yeah. or anything. And that's kind of wild game in general. I didn't grow up cooking it, nor hunting it. So I didn't have these preconceived notions of what I could do with it,
yeah.
as far as cooking, or what I couldn't do. And so in particular, the javelina will really get me on a high horse. And I will preach the peccary gospel, as I like to say, to anybody, because they're perfectly edible and wonderful, really neat creatures that we're really lucky to have here in Texas. Mm. So I get to introduce women to that every year, which is really
awesome.
Yeah,
what a bonding experience.
Yeah, it's great. And then with our Adult Learn to Hunt program, I'm kind of spearheading a few ladies' hunts with that, and then cooking on a lot of those hunts this year, and just trying to, you know, showcase how versatile wild game can be.
You heard it here. If you have a problem with javelina, you're just a bad cook.
I mean, a lot of people don't even try to cook it.
Yeah.
I grew up fishing a lot. Never really hunted. I bow hunted because I was like, I'm a little sensitive. If I'm going to kill an animal, I'm going to use a bow, right?
That's how I was at first.
And so I've never killed big game or anything, especially with a gun. And but growing up fisherman, you know, there's like certain fish you throw back, or you don't eat, or you only fry. Because it's like, oh, this is not good meat. This is not good.
Yep.
And I mean, I think that's just things we say, you know? It's just these weird...
Yeah, they're just passed down.
Stereotypes.
Like, I grew up hunting my whole life here in Texas, and I've never eaten javelina. So that would be a first.
Yeah.
I think, like, for what you were saying, preconceived notions, I've always just been told, like, you don't really eat that, you know?
Yeah.
So as somebody who leads youth to hunt, women to hunt, adults to hunt, women's and daughters to hunt, what are, like, some of your biggest takeaways? I mean, I would think mostly the biggest one I would think would be most impactful would be like kids or adults for the first time, or even a mother and her daughter. Like, what do you see? What hits you hard watching these people bag their first kill, or, you know, any part of that process? What stands out to you the most?
Well, initially, I always see myself in them. I feel like I've always struggled with calling myself an expert on something. I'm a student constantly, forever. I'm forever a student. But over time, I've realized that I do have some knowledge that I can impart on others, especially when it comes to cooking. That's kind of where I've settled in the outdoors and found my passion. But I think if I were to think about it, with like the mothers and daughters, like I would love someday somewhere for a woman to say, oh, my mom took me on my first hunt. Mm. You know, I've never heard that before.
Yeah.
And so.
And you're creating that experience, those memories.
Yeah. And then, you know, if I'm not doing it, who is going to do it? So, yeah. You know, that's where I keep pushing myself to work hard and provide this experience for whether it's 1, 4, 40 people, you know, it doesn't matter to me as long as, you know, somebody gets something out of it. But, you know, I just, when it comes to women, that's really, where my passion lies. It's just, you know, other ladies coming up to me and just, you know, saying I never had this opportunity or felt like I had this opportunity before this, or just being present. And it's not even talked about really, but just being there and being the person behind cooking everything or curating everything, you know, that's empowering people. You know, Chris Abigail, y'all had on mm-hmm. the podcast. I bring her out to my ladies hunt and have her, you know, do her butchery demonstration. I look up to her greatly, and just having her there. And it's, again, it's not talked about like, hey guys, we're women, we're doing this, but whether people know it or not, you know, they're being impacted by that. And the same with the mother-daughter hunt is all my guides are ladies. They're all from different walks of life. And that's another thing about bringing people together is a lot of people comment like, oh, it's so great, you're bringing like-minded people together. And I stop them. I say, I'm not bringing like-minded people together. And that's what I love about it. Mm. I'm bringing people from all over, yeah. from all different backgrounds, all different experiences, ages, all differences, and they're coming together. So that's really my mission is to bring.
Yeah, it's not. Oh, sorry, go ahead.
I was just going to say, and even more so than like the skills, the actual action of hunting and harvesting an animal, I think, especially for women, like you said, like people aren't used to their moms taking them on a hunt for the first time. You never hear that. It's like a mental block of like the building the confidence enough to say, like, I can do this, and going out and doing it, actually doing it, and not having a man there to, like, you know, hold your hand through everything and do the hard stuff. It's like learning that you can actually take control of that.
Yeah, and building a network of, yes. of ladies that you can count on. Like,
a tribe.
Yeah. yeah. Or, you know, men Love too. It. Like, I'm not bashing men.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
I'm also, like, I tell women, like, you don't have to do everything yourself. Yeah. Like, I feel like, and this is with men and women, you get overwhelmed thinking about all the things you have to do that go with harvesting your mm-hmm. own meat. And you don't have to do it yourself. Like, yeah. there are other people there to help you through it. And so whatever that looks like for you, like, do it. If you love the cooking part of it, like, focus on that yeah. and have others help you with the other part, or vice versa, you know. There's a lot of people that like the hunting aspect but don't know how to right. cook it or things like that. Just, like, lean into what mm-hmm. you're passionate about, whatever speaks to you about being in the outdoors and hunting, and then rely on your team.
Yeah.
And that's what I'm doing. Like, I don't consider myself an expert. I'm not a biologist, but like, what I'm really good at is bringing people together. Mm. And I love that I can bring really smart people together who have the knowledge, and I can learn from them just as much as yeah. they can learn from me or somebody else there, their mentor, their guide. So, you know, we're all kind of in it together.
Yeah, I love that. So.
I love that idea of, you know, like, I wanted to first be like, which you even spoke against this, female empowerment, feminism, which there's a touch of that there. Yeah. But the reality is it's just empowerment in a whole, because yes. I think as a 35-year-old man who works for a quote unquote type of outdoor company who has never killed big game, there's a level of insecurity and hesitation. I don't know how to get into that, what to do. Mm-hmm. And it's kind of like a lot of my friends, they grew up doing that. Mm-hmm. So even for me, it would be empowering to be in a community and do that. And so much more. And I know you work with adults, all genders and stuff, but I can even think so much more to create a community for women, something that's even less thought of.
Yeah.
And I love the idea that, like, no, they're not like-minded. Like, these are people with different experiences and different backgrounds different coming traits. Together to create an experience yeah. in a moment. And yeah. I think that's super cool.
Yeah, absolutely.
Is there like a specific thing you see click in people a lot or change, whether it's thought or, and I maybe I'll loop this into another question of, hey, you're from Oregon. Do you have friends, people you grew up with who are like, what are you doing? And yeah. Like, what is that big click for you that like, this is what I realized about hunting, conservation, et cetera?
Yeah, I definitely, none of my friends hunted or had anything to do with hunting. Probably didn't even fish, most of my friends growing up. So when I did kind of start that, I felt like I had to prove to them constantly. And that was just exhausting.
Yeah.
To have to prove why this is important and, you know, like always be banging the drums. And at some point in whether it's my career or this journey, I've learned that like your, just your actions and your kindness speak louder than sometimes just banging that drum of like, I'm a hunter, this and that. Like, no, that's not everything that I do. Like I'm also, you know, a friend.
Yeah.
And I love art and I love gardening and dog training and all kinds of things.
We sure love our labels, right?
Yes. So, you know, you don't always have to be like, there's no off season, yeah. I'm a hunter type thing. But
you don't walk around in camo all the time, no, is what you're saying.
Like Haley,
don't.
Yeah. I try to though.
Yeah.
But I think people, once they have this experience, they kind of just appreciate things more. They're more conscious about where their food comes from. So or just anything, where anything comes from. I mean, it's become important to some people to, you know, to support companies that are local or, you know, or if just be appreciative that you can go to HEB right now and get a papaya or, yeah. you know, a mango or a steak of any choice or whatever it is, you know. So I think you kind of go through different, it's as an adult, you go through these thought processes of like, how can I be impactful in a meaningful way as far as conservation and wildlife? And, you know, at first you kind of try and do it all, but at some point you kind of figure out what works for you. And at the time, you know, whether it's gardening or foraging or, hunting, fishing, anything like that. But I think for me, it's, I want people to have that one experience to appreciate, especially private lands in Texas. Majority of our land is privately owned. So I love taking people out on private land and having that connection to that land, whether they ever hunt again or not. Sure, I would definitely love for them to continue this experience, but I want them to appreciate everything that has gone into conserving that property, whatever that means for that landowner, to create this experience. And just know, like, for instance, you know, that where I host that javelina hunt, you know, it's 20,000 plus acres. And, you know, there's animosity about private land ownership of like, you know, like I don't get to go hunt that. But if they didn't privately own that, that would be shopping malls.
Right.
That would be
neighborhoods,
condos, yeah. neighborhoods, you know, and here it is, you know, it's not a cattle operation. It's just purely wildlife.
Love it.
So, you know, I always think of that and trying to connect people to that historical aspect of private land ownership in Texas.
It's probably not an easy feat too, because especially nowadays, it's the hardest part is probably getting people to just stop, slow down, and like notice the outdoors and what's happening around them. And so once you get like that first taste of it and you realize how peaceful it can be, that, man, that's all you want to do.
Yeah, it definitely, I've always kind of been really health conscious. And then also just getting outdoors has helped me in that realm of like slowing down, especially 2020 was a strange year for all of us.
Yeah.
And there was a lot of things going on and I just, again, got myself in trouble and woke up one day and was like, I want to learn how to fly fish. And you know, it just set me on this journey of learning to fly fish. And one thing I loved about fly fishing was I didn't have to think about the world. I was just really, you know, hyper focused on, mm-hmm. you know, how I'm throwing my lure or my fly and the rod and the movements and everything. And by and large, like 6 hours had gone by and I hadn't thought about my problems,
yeah.
or my stressors or work or, you know, my family or anything like that. I was just like, whoa, this is great. Mm-hmm. So, you know, and that's what spoke to me. Some people love it because they do get that time to think about their life and things like that. And for me, it was like the opposite. Like I wanted to get out of my head and just yeah. focus on fishing. So
it sounds nice.
Nature yeah. is very therapeutic. In
yeah,
that way.
It's super therapeutic. you know, it can be very social too.
Yeah.
And so I love, again, just love bringing people together from all over.
I love that. The thing I hear about you the most though, is your cooking. And we talked about that a little bit, but I would love to just talk about, you know, you talked about javelina, getting to that, but what's like the real driver to getting so much into, we keep using the word curate, wild game cooking for other people and for yourself?
Yeah. Well, it just made sense to me when I started becoming a hunter or looking into hunting, supporting hunting. The food aspect just always spoke to me. I was always pretty conscious of, you know, where my food came from, or at least I thought I was. But, you know, I volunteered in a community garden, things like that. So I just went searching, and this was during, like, I guess the Duck Commander era. And mm-hmm. so I was big into duck hunting when I first started hunting, and I found Hank Shaw, who is a chef. He was out of California. He's been traveling around these days. But I found him, went to a dinner he was putting on locally, and just, he was kind of my introduction into cooking. And his books kind of taught me the basics of wild game cooking. And then when I started looking to Texas, I found Chef Jesse Griffiths. And I became like a total fangirl of mm-hmm. him. And actually through TWA, I got to work with him. This is probably back in 2016. And I was like,
yeah,
you know, this was, I guess, early meat eater days too. But I hadn't really paid much attention to meat eater. Like, he was kind of my chef idol. And so I became friends with him, and lucky enough, he asked me to guide in his hunting school, New School of Traditional Cookery. This was probably 5 years ago. And so I've been doing that for the last 5 years, and he's become a huge mentor in my life, along with many other people, as far as cooking. And I'm just super grateful for him. He totally sees like the need to have a female out there in the field as well. Again, an unspoken thing, not like a, you know, hey, she's a girl.
Yeah.
It's just, you know, having me there, and he lets me, you know, tap into all his knowledge. And so I'm really grateful to him for mentoring me throughout my whole cooking journey, I guess. But, you know, it just comes from a passion. You know, one thing I learned from him greatly was hospitality. And just, I found that I love taking care of people in that way. And so when I do events and things, I do get asked a lot, like, can I help you? And I am sometimes like, no, because I want to take care of you.
Let me serve
yes,
you.
Yes, yeah. yes, yeah. yes. And so, and I get some flack for that, because like my coworker, Matt, he'll be like, no, let them help you. Let them learn. And yeah. I'm like, oh yeah, right. you're right.
You can teach them while you do it.
Yeah, yeah. exactly. So there's like a balance of, mm-hmm. You know, getting people involved and taking care of
and
people
serving.
Too.
Yeah. yeah.
But I did a fly fishing, a women's fly fishing clinic. And I had a participant come up to me afterwards, and she's like, I just felt so taken care of during Aww. This whole process. Like, I didn't have to worry about anything. And I was just like, melting inside, because that's what I want. You know, these people aren't, you know, spending a lot of money to go on these events, but relatively, we try and keep the cost really low. And so I still want to provide a high level of hospitality to anybody that's coming on an event with me or with TWA. So I think that was the long answer for your question.
I loved it.
But just cooking has just become a way for me to serve others. And I'm fortunate enough to mostly eat wild game in my own home. So it's just always been a curiosity for me. And I love cooking it and sharing it with others, which I'm going to do here later on is share some with
you. Yeah, I've been drooling over your story since dove season started.
And again, it's just, I just have this curiosity, and I am not a very good rule follower. So I just kind of
experiment.
Yeah,
that's experiment great.
And make up my own stuff. And of course I learn from others and my mistakes and things, but you know, I just try and kind of hone in on that and do what I can. And, you know, when it works, it works. So I don't know. I just love it. I'm just really humbled by people saying things like that and kind of just, you know, telling others about my cooking and thing, because I just am having fun. I just enjoy it. So
it's great.
I do get teased and called fancy quite often with my food. But I don't feel like I'm fancy. I just like,
elevated.
Yeah, there you go. There's a difference.
That's true. I mean, that's part of it too, is like a lot of people again have grown, if they did grow up eating wild game, there was a certain way that it was prepared, and I'm not saying that those ways aren't really tasty.
Yeah,
but there are other
branch out.
So with dove season, you know, everybody's, you know, they make their dove poppers. Yep. And that's how they eat dove, and that's great. But I was like, hey, I'm gonna reinvent the dove popper. And my coworker's like, no, why? You don't need to change it.
Yeah.
But you know, again, something different. Don't be afraid. Like I made dove pasta last night. You know, there are other ways you can eat dove.
Yeah.
So, you know, just play with it. Like,
I think there's nothing wrong with pushing the boundaries.
There's nothing,
trying something new.
And also, like, what do you like eating normally every day? That's, you can substitute wild game for that.
Yeah.
There's nothing wrong with
chicken wings and ramen.
Okay. Yes. If there were chicken wings on a deer, man, I would slay all the deer.
Let's just put little bones in medicine and serve it to me. I'll eat it.
I love chicken wings.
Oh my gosh. That's my favorite.
And that's also part of eating wild game, is like, I feel like I enjoy beef and chicken so much more. Like, we'll go to a cookout and they'll serve chicken, and I'm like, oh, chicken? Yes.
Yeah. Cause like a treat, like, you don't get it often. Yeah.
And people are like, what? So I think you just, for me, I have a conversation with my food constantly. And also wild game just like makes you want to share. Like I always say, you don't go to HEB and there's a sale on chicken thighs and you don't come home and like call your friends up and be like, I just bought so many chicken thighs. Like, come on over.
We just slaughtered some chickens.
Yeah. Well, maybe.
Maybe.
Yeah. You might do that. You know, just something about wild game. There's a story behind it.
Yeah.
Or even, you know, as a cook of wild game, people give me wild game to try. So I've gotten to work with a lot of different meats and things. And again, there's another story behind that. Like, I'm going to make some axis for you guys. And I didn't harvest that, but a dear friend of mine did. And I went out and helped him process it. And
it's a sharing of the experience.
Yeah.
When you buy something from the store, which is amazing.
Yes.
But there's no experience, no story behind
excitement.
It.
Like, you got to try this.
When you share something that you have cultivated yourself, mm-hmm. like there's a story there, an experience. Like if a mother and a daughter, you know, harvest a javelina and then you cook that, like that's a story and experience in a moment that you're sharing with people.
Yeah. And on that hunt, I serve all wild game, including javelina, to the mothers and daughters. And like, the best feeling is to get those text messages later of pictures of them, what they've cooked afterwards. Aww. And it's just like, it just, it really just melts my heart and makes me do what
it's
I do.
It's fulfilling.
It is. Yeah. It is. So.
Well, as you teased, you're going to cook for us a little bit and we're going to segment over to that. But before we do that, because I don't know if we'll have a chance to do it, a question we always love to ask somebody is, what does the outdoors mean to you? And so it could be one sentence. It could be a rambly paragraph. It could be whatever it is to you. What does the outdoors mean to you, Kristen Parma?
Oh my gosh. That's
cook, hunt master,
friend,
friend, TBA or TBD, friend.
I'm really trying to be your friend here.
You're my back friend.
Gosh, the outdoors to me really is life. I mean, it's experiencing life. The majority of life is lived outdoors for me, and it just encompasses everything that I want to experience, that I want to give, and that I want my legacy in life to have or to encompass. So I guess it's just life for me. It's passion. It's where everything goes back to, is being outdoors, whether that's hunting or fishing or gardening or foraging or just living life around a campfire, cooking. The outdoors is life. I don't know if that's a good answer, but.
It's an absolute great answer. Oh, cheers to that, friend.
Friend. Cheers.
Let's cook.
Let's go.
LFG. LFG. Get the knife out.
Yes.